Este, ¿cuáles son los tienen central? Which we are going to allow you to introduce yourself and proceed with the presentation. Oh, is this possible? Okay. Honorable Chair and members of this committee, thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation. Oh, we're still hearing ourselves.
You must switch off the volume.
Honorable Chair, I'll start again. Thank you, Chair and members of this committee, for the opportunity to make this presentation. Now, in a democracy, it's everyone's right and duty to participate in government and decisions that affect them. And it is as a dedicated stakeholder in education that the Skole Ondersteuning Centrum, in English, it's a school support center. I'll just talk about the SOS, that we make this presentation on the Bella Bill. Now, the SOS is an independent non-profit organization, and we aim to promote quality education through comprehensive assistance to schools in Afrikaans. Now, we have 1,200 schools registered to our subject societies. We provide training to more than 16,000 teachers every year, and 37,000 learners use our online learning platform, the Vork School, with CAPS-aligned content. We also do extensive research on education matters, best practices internationally, but also on the education landscape in South Africa and ITC matters in education. So we do a lot of research. And we also help with schools and communities in the Western Cape and Northern Cape mostly. Now, the SOS is part of the Solidarity Movement. It's a federation of community organizations based on the principle of self-help. We support and represent, together with other organizations, the Afrikaans-speaking education community. Now, I'm Melanie Buys. I'm head of development at the SOS, and I'd like to introduce Mr. Leon Fourie. He's CEO of the SOS, to make this presentation and to convey the broad concerns that the SOS has regarding the proposed Bella Bill. The detail of our presentation is available on our website at skole.co.za, but we also have some printed copies if you'd like to read about the detail. Now, we trust that our input will be received in the spirit of constructive engagement to improve the bill, but also to improve education at large in our country. Leon Fourie.
Honourable Chair, honourable members of this committee, thank you for the opportunity to make this oral presentation on the Basic Education Amendment Bill. Melanie, thank you for the introduction. As you have heard, we are representing, together with other organisations, the Afrikaans-speaking community. However, the principles that we will be presenting are the same for all language and cultural communities in South Africa. Some of the principles are that we believe that all children in South Africa should have access to quality education. Quality education is the cornerstone of a prosperous South Africa, or a South Africa that will be prosperous in the future. We believe that mother tongue education is in the best interest of every child. Research done by UNESCO shows that children that receive education in their mother tongue perform better than those who don't. It also shows that countries perform better economically when learners receive education in their mother tongue. We believe that cultural diversity, the people of South Africa, should be promoted, and that one culture or one language should not be superior to any other. The Constitution, Section 29, Section 30 and 31, is enshrined with the rights to mother tongue education in public institutions, the right to protect the different cultural communities, and to join and maintain cultural and religious and linguistic associations and other organs of civil society. We believe that school communities and school governing bodies are best positioned and must have the ability to make decisions in the best interest of their own communities. Decisions shouldn't be forced onto them by the state. Some of the research that we've done shows that there is an increase in the number of Afrikaans-speaking people, 3% in the last 10 years, 300,000 Afrikaans-speaking people. The race distribution of Afrikaans-speaking people, you can see there is 40% whites, 9% black African, 50% brown, and 1% Indian or Asian. So Afrikaans is not merely a white language. The increase in the number of Afrikaans learners, there was an 8% increase in the last 10 years of Afrikaans learners, more or less 100,000, sorry. There was a decrease in the number of Afrikaans public schools. So there's a major concern for us in terms of these schools. As you can see, there's a 16% decrease in the number of Afrikaans public schools from almost 1,300 10 years ago to less than 1,100. More than 200 Afrikaans schools were anglicized in the last 10 years. The percentage of Afrikaans schools, single medium Afrikaans public schools, is only 5% of all the schools in South Africa. Our biggest concerns with the Bella Bill is the centralization of state power. With the Bella, there's a definite move towards the centralization of state power in violation of the purpose of the South African Schools Act. During apartheid, there were state schools where the state had full control over the schools. Bella is trying to go back to that model. Public schools are not state schools. They're public schools, which provides control to communities and school governing bodies. With the White Paper 1 and 2 of 1995 and 1996, respectively, they reflect the policy considerations for the drafting and promulgation of SASA. A few very important basic points of departure are listed there. Parents have the most at stake in the education of their children, and they require school governing bodies that can carry legal accountability. Very important. The state needs to provide a facilitating role. Facilities, educators, operational costs to some extent, but with a minimum legal accountability. And it should be based on a participative management. The decision-making powers of governing bodies should reflect their capacity and responsibility to render effective service. And SASA contemplates a partnership between the major stakeholders, which is the state, the parents, the educators, and the learners. So the move towards greater state power, which is evident in Section 5 and 6 of Bella, and with a centralized placement system, is a clear violation of the purpose, the original purpose of SASA, and not in the spirit of the Constitution. With regards to Section 6, if you look at Section 6, 13 and 19 of Bella, it uses words like direct, decide and inform to direct a public school to adopt more than one language, to consider and decide and inform the governing body of the outcome of the appeal. Here the MEC has full control to decide and make instructions. These words are undemocratic and autocratic. This will enable individuals to strong-arm schools, in our case, Afrikaans schools, to adopt more than one language. The Bella Bill provides no protection for indigenous languages or for, in this case, Afrikaans. English is a more dominant language, although English is not the largest language in South Africa. But what we've seen in most cases, English prevail when placed in competition or in the same environment as an indigenous language. From our experience, speaking with headmasters and school governing bodies heads, Afrikaans schools are under constant pressure to anglicize. Once these schools are anglicized, they don't experience the same pressure to take in any other indigenous language. A while ago, there was a public statement made by 20 organizations representing 600,000 Afrikaans households. These organizations signed a joint statement that says Bella, in its current form, is a breach of the 1994 settlement. I have copies available if you'd like a copy. It states, together with other statements, that a promise was made that language and culture would be protected in the new dispensation. This would include tolerance and space for the preservation and development of Afrikaans and other indigenous languages, that there is a misrepresentation that Afrikaans education is a barrier to access to education in the country, that the constitutional instruments to create room for Afrikaans and other indigenous languages to continue the new dispensation is now used to undo Afrikaans education. It states that this breach of trust will be irreparable and permanent. So you can see from this statement, it is clear how serious the Afrikaans language and cultural community is about this matter. Our proposal is to withdraw the current version of Bella. It is to give the role of school governing bodies as community representatives should be strengthened to determine the school's policy and make decisions, which is in the best interest of the learners and the community which they serve. The school governing bodies are the best positioned to act in the best interest of their own communities, to provide protection and support to all language and cultural communities, something that is enshrined in the Constitution, and to delegate power to schools with proven management ability. Public schools must be allowed more powers if they have a proven track record. This will free up resources for government and time for the Department of Basic Education to focus on the improving of dysfunctional schools and their education system. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fori, thank you very much. Members, Honorable Nodada Suela and Boshoff and Advance in that order.
Thank you so much, Chair. I think the presentation is pretty straightforward and clear. I just have one question. In fact, let me put it, there's one question with two parts. The first question in part is, there's a proposal that says we need to delegate more powers to school governing bodies and management that have a track record of performing. And where do you think the Bella Bill needs to locate this type of proposal? Because part of what the concerns are is, don't strip away powers from school governing bodies to determine language admission policies. Rather, in fact, give or delegate more powers to school governing bodies and management that actually has a track record of performance. Is there maybe a written submission where you would want that to be located somewhere in the Bella Bill? And then the second part of the question is, are you requesting that the bill in itself in its current form be withdrawn in its entirety, or just the specific concerns or areas of concerns per clauses that you have challenges with? So that's basically my question. Thanks, Chair.
Suela?
Thank you, Chairperson. No, that covered me on the question of whether SOS thinks that the Bella Bill should be withdrawn in its entirety, because they never said anything about all the other clauses, except that they spend a lot of time talking about the language issue and the attack on African schools. I want to get a sense, in what way is the bill attacking Africans as a language in African schools? I need to get a sense, why is there is that perception? Why is that view? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, actually, so the Honourable Aduensi is going before me. I would like to know, you gave some graphics on the growth in Afrikaans speakers and in the decline in schools, but do you have any information on the demand for Afrikaans schooling? Because it doesn't follow by itself that the growing number of Afrikaans-speaking children, they entitled me to use a word. Normally one shouldn't say children, you should say young people or youth or whatever. But how many children and the parents actually have a demand for Afrikaans education? Thank you, Chair.
I think I'm also covered. We really want you to tell us which clause do you think that it really speaks on the attack of the on the Afrikaans schools, because we would have to speak facts. We would have to be convinced to your submission on this attack on the Afrikaans schools. Where is it coming from? Anything from you, Advocate Mesa?
No, Chair, no comment. Thank you.
You can.
Honourable Chair, I'll start and then Leon can add to what I'm saying. So I'll take it from the first question, and I think starting with saying how do we want to have more delegated powers to the SGBs and what must be right in the Bella Bill. Now, looking at SASA as it is, there's already a lot of checks and balances built into the existing Schools Act that allows a lot for SGBs to know how far they can go. And I think what's very important is the principle. I think it's Lee LaCocca, he was the CEO of one of the big motor industries. He said, I hire good people and then I get out of their way and let them do what they can do. And that's exactly what we say the education department must do. That successful schools that have proven track records for doing things right, you can step back and leave them and take that energy and money and time and spend it on the nearly 80% dysfunctional or underperforming schools in the country. Because I was listening to the equal education person too. The problem is not access to the Afrikaans schools, it's access to quality education. That's what people are looking for. That's what a parent is looking for, to be sure that my child has a reasonable chance for success. So the 5% Afrikaans schools, existing Afrikaans schools, is in most cases grossly over-enrolled already. So that 5% schools is not going to make a difference. But changing the 80% underperforming schools will make a huge difference in access to quality education for all. So I think that's where our focus should be. And stepping back and leave the good schools to go on as long as they do well, and the SGBs to take that responsibility. Okay, and then I think that one of your big questions was, how is the attack mainly on Afrikaans schools? What we experience when we look through the Bella Bill is on determining language and admission policy. We experience that quite strongly in Gauteng with the admissions. It's a language policy. If you talk about a single medium school, I think that was one of the questions also earlier today, asking how many single medium schools are there? We only found the few Afrikaans one. We don't look at the English single medium schools, because that is not where the problem is. It's the quality schools, and most of them are Afrikaans, that they say language is promoting or is causing a barrier to entrance. So, and that brings us back to the previous thing that I said. If we have quality schools in all languages, then we have access to successful education for everybody. So that is where our focus should be, and not only on the language issue in the school. Leo?
So in terms of the attack on Afrikaans schools, that is from our experience, that we sit with our headmasters, and they're constantly under pressure, constantly being in a position that they are given certain rights and certain privileges if they take English classes. But our problem is that from what we've seen is it's about 5 years from where an Afrikaans school is becoming an English school to where it is only an English single medium school at the end. There's 200 cases of that happened in the last 10 years. Every 2 months, basically, there's an Afrikaans school, previously Afrikaans school, that's anglicized completely. And then, while we say there's an attack on them, is that once that school is anglicized or English, there's no motivation to bring in another indigenous language in that school. Then it's what it is. Then it's English single medium. So it only goes one way. In terms of the sections inside the law that you can add, so there's a section that's a private school can become a public school, but there's no reversal of that. There's an opportunity that can maybe be explored, and then other places where the schools can get more rights and more privileges if they have a proven track record. As I've shown, it's language is not about race. It's a race distribution of all South Africans. I think we've answered all the questions.
About the number of schools, we did a lot of research on the number of schools. What we found is in the last 10 years, there's nearly 120 less public schools in South Africa. That's of all languages, despite everything that was built. And we use the numbers of the education department and the formal publications to do our research. Okay, but there's of the 25,000 schools that we have in the country, there's only 1,092 Afrikaans schools. So that's not going to make a big difference in the problem of access to quality education by changing that schools to be bilingual. And what we also found is that with our parallel medium schools that also present Afrikaans teaching, is that Afrikaans learners is in 79% of those schools. They are less than 50%, in most cases even less than 30% of the learners in that school.
She wasn't responded to about the demand for Afrikaans education. We know about the numbers, but do we know about the demand?
Okay, yeah.
Principal? Let's just also take this one.
My chair, maybe just one question, though it will be preceded by this. I understand the responses from our fellow colleagues as they were trying to respond to some of the questions. But I'm tempted to raise this question that you see, Chair, my understanding was it should be the thirst of every one of us to try and bring South African together. South Africa, it's a unitary state, and the people and everyone must feel free living in South Africa, regardless of where. You see, Chair, there is one presenter from South Africans on the base in before, which came before. I thought I must reserve this question, but now I can see it's perpetuating. Maybe this is something which we need to have a common footing on and understand. They made mention when they were presenting about 1995, 1996, that why should we bring changes unnecessarily all of a sudden? Education is dynamic by nature. We cannot be static. And being dynamic, and so is this country, that as we move forward, we must move towards convergence rather than continue to diverge. That should be the purpose at each and everyone's heart. The 1995-96, before the adoption of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, every one of us must understand what actually happened during the Sunset Clause, when it has to be done. You see, we cannot live in the past if we aim to build this country into a unitary state. The Sunset Clause had a number of compromises, including even on education, people in the offices, even politically, all parties were brought together. But now, growing forward, we cannot continue to discriminate each other unnecessarily based on issues like language. And because it is very clear, all what we are seeing here, the purpose of the amendment of, as stated in this bill, it is saying South Africans, we have worked together for more than 27 years. And we believe it is about time that at the end of the day, the center must hold. The situation whereby SGBs keep on taking HODs, MECs, and the minister to court is not building us. It's actually destroying the country and everything that we are trying to fight for. Maybe the question I should be asking is, given what is being presented, whereby the powers should remain with the SGBs, is this in a way having any way of bringing us together as South African, or is it continuing to polarize us? I'm saying so because, Chairperson, the center is failing to hold because of these powers given to SGBs, which SGB, each and every SGB will have its own policy.
though regulated at a provincial or national level, but at the end of the day, the SGB remain with more powers than the powers of the SGB, I mean the HOD and the MECs, even that of the minister. Is this assisting in bringing us together or polarizing us? I just want us somebody to bring me home by responding to that. Because we are saying powers must go and remain with the HOD and MEC. Who will be able to regulate the rest in different schools for purposes of us having a unitary South Africa? Thank you very much.
It's fine.
Thank you. I'd like to start with, maybe I'll just answer, Honourable Members, the first question, and then I'll come to your statement of working together and trying to stay in the past. So what we see with our research is that there's a growing number of Afrikaans learners or even other language learners that like to study at Afrikaans schools because of the high quality of education that is provided in the Afrikaans schools, but also in a lot of other schools. So it's not only in Afrikaans schools. So we see a growing number. The schools grow bigger. We have fewer schools, but the schools are a lot bigger. So that's what's happening. So we, especially in Gauteng, we see a lot of, what do they call it, the very big schools. The mega schools, yeah, which is not really a very positive pedagogic principle that we'd like to strive to. We'd like to have community schools everywhere, but that's what happens. And even the most oversubscribed school in South Africa, one of these, are Langenhoven High School in Pretoria. It's a high quality school. And all the learners from around the city like to come there, but they are taught in English. And that brings us back to, are we asking to stay where we were in the past, or what are we asking? And I think it's very important to know that we do not identify in terms of race. It's important in South Africa that we identify in terms of culture. Because that is what makes us special in this multicultural country. If we just have one language, English, in all the schools, we're losing ourselves. We're losing what is special. What we should strive to is for more mother tongue education. Because that was what was discussed in 96 also. That was what all the different communities thought they were going to have. And that was not served by the education government by providing more mother tongue education. If you look at international principles, mother tongue education is something that we don't even debate about anymore because we know there's a clear, it's very positive if you have mother tongue education. That's the best kind of education you can wish for. Oh, is that the problem? Okay, Leon, maybe you want to add to that?
I agree with Milani. Our cultures must be celebrated. Our cultural diversity must be promoted. We have the freedom. We must not restrict that. And that is that is basic principle that how we see that. In terms of the schools, yeah, the research that we do is the Afrikaans schools are much 20-30% larger than all the other schools. Now Afrikaans schools are being built. There were three built, only three in the last 10 years. 500 schools were built. So, yeah, that's one of the problems that we have. All right. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
No, I think let's just leave it here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to yourselves. Mr. Fori and Ms. Pies, thank you very much. We have said to the other organization that we have met that it's up to you. You can stay if you want to, or you are allowed to to leave if you want to. But we have noted as the committee your concerns that you have raised, and they are going to be part of our consolidated report. Now I think let's move to World Strangers.
Recording in progress.
My apologies about the delay. The technical staff. Members and Chairperson for Treasury Committee, Patriotic South African. Good afternoon. Okay. Is it better now? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for giving World Changers candidates an opportunity to come and say no drugs in any form under any circumstance should be allowed at our schools. In calling for the removal of Clause 8, Section 8A of the Bella Bill, which proposes that the school should sell alcohol for purposes of fundraising and functions. I'm sitting here representing an organization that was conceived 20 years ago after assisting what is now a father of two, a husband, a comrade marathon runner, a television presenter, a businessman, Mr. Kabalo Mabalane, and I would love this committee here to join me in saying no to drugs in celebration of Kabalo Mabalane's 20 years of sobriety. That's a very good example that it can be done, and it's giving us hope that drugs can be eradicated. Early this year, our organization was taken aback when we saw the publishing of the recommendation on the Bella Bill. We thought that shouldn't even have crossed our mind. And our organization over the past 20 years, we've been assisting schools, communities, individuals with issues of drugs and substance abuse. Our programs are highlighted annually on the 26th of June, which is the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. And sadly, this year, as we wake up to commemorate the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking, this country, beautiful country of ours, was hit by the death of 21 kids that died at Enyobeni. That was on the 26th of June. That's on the day when we are commemorating the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. And we thought, should this bill be allowed and go through? Basically, we're taking Enyobeni Tavern into the schools. So that means we're actually going to encounter even more death. We can even think of more possibilities, actually, if this bill goes through. Can you, and which is a reality in South Africa, can you also start imagining the school governing body, the school principal that are alcoholic, which is a possibility in this country, and taking advantage of this bill, and then throwing fundraising functions at the school almost every weekend. So this will actually be detrimental to what we're trying to achieve. So we have already seen with the misunderstanding when the cannabis was legalized, the Dacha, where we saw kids now actually officially throwing parties on the 20th of April. They call it the 420. This has been in existence for a while, but it was only acknowledged when the cannabis was legalized. And the misunderstanding of that to most of the kids was that they can do as they wish with the cannabis anywhere and everywhere. So, and that is what is happening now. And then can you imagine what would happen when this bill is passed to say there will be, the schools can actually sell alcohol. I don't know if you're aware that there is a school already in Hammanskraal that is being sponsored by the, an alcohol company. And the board there in the school says, we know you are thirsty. So looking at where we are going, if this bill is allowed, we definitely just throwing the future of our kids down the drain. As I mentioned that we've been 20 years in this game when we assisted Mr. Kabelo Mabalane. We've been on the road with the late Minister of Education, Kada Asmal. He used to invite our organization during the school effectiveness to come and teach and talk to kids about the danger of drugs and substance abuse. And we continued on that with other MECs because we have a lot of kids that we have assisted that are actually now coming in. It was only now that when Leondale Secondary School video that went viral on the 420, which is the 20th of April, when the video from the Leondale Secondary School that went viral, that the country was only taken aback to realize the scourge or the misunderstanding of what cannabis supposed to be, what is supposed to be used for. And let me also bring it to your attention that after that ordeal, World Changers candidate was invited by the school governing body, the school management, to come and do an intervention at the school. And we did a presentation to the parents, to the school governing body, the school management. And after our presentation, two learners asked for assistance with the use of drugs at school. And that's when we really discovered how big the problem was. We assisted the kids that came voluntarily. And with our support program, those kids, they have now started a support group at the school. They're busy recruiting more kids to join the support group and quit the drugs. For our issue is mainly on the clause 8, section 8A, which seek to propose to have the alcohol being sold at school. So it is on those bases that we started a petition, and we'd like to thank the South Africans that actually signed the petition in numbers to say no drugs under any circumstances should be allowed at our school premises. I'll stop there and play the video of how we've been progressing on this. Thank you very much.
2 hours, it will be easily accessible because it is legal. That will certainly let us remember that one children died and seven died. Want to provide their parents with liquor at school events. Availability of alcohol in this country is like opening doors for evil happening. This simply sends a message that because alcohol is legal, it's okay to buy it. That is when parents, communities, and especially the youth should come in. South Africa has already defined successful ills by the lack of participation of communities, parents, as well as the government of failing us. I would also like to share my disappointment in the youth for glorifying each other on continued substance. Responsible for strengthening and shaping the foundation of our society.
Use the mic of the device, and then from the other should be options. Oh, no, so I need the speaker.
Okay. No, I think let's get some questions, ne? From what you have presented, because members, Honorable Principal, Honorable Suela.
Modulastuna, thank you very much. I think let us say we appreciate the world changers for coming forward to give and present their vision. And surely I take it, I understood them, but I want to be more convinced that indeed I heard and understood them. I might have heard them without understanding them, but I want to go home with the full conviction that I understood them. You see, when I listened, number one, they are talking about the petition, which is getting support. Number two, their presentation anchors in the main on clause number 8 of the bill, which talks about the selling of alcohol within school premises. Mudlastulo, did I hear them saying they don't necessarily have problems with the bill as amended, but in principle, their worry is on clause number 8. If so, I'm happy and I'm satisfied. Thank you.
No, then thank you very much, Siyabonga. But my issue is just to check with you, Uri. I'm just making an example. Because some of the school where you are coming, when you are coming in a situation of rural areas, where for any type of event, if a person gets married, they would use the school as a venue. for that marriage. If there's any type of event in that rural school, the only place that has a big accommodation would be a school. I'm talking of a very deep rural area. So people would arrange with the school to have that wedding on a Saturday, and they would eat and drink there. So in a situation like that, how do you think a situation like that as world changes should be dealt with? Before you respond, anything, Advocate Misa?
No, Chairperson. There's no comment. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I guess I would start with the first question. Yes, our issue is all with Clause 8, Section 8A, and not entirely with other issues in the bill. And that is actually what our petition was all about. Our petition was to say no drugs in any form under any circumstances should be allowed at the premises of our school as the proposal there. So I just wanted to make that clear. I'm not sure if you answered, sir. Okay. And then it will come into your question, Chair, is that, you know, we are more concerned about the misunderstanding based on the fact that like unintended consequences always outnumbers intended consequences. So the intention would be that there will be a function and this could be used as a fundraising for the school by hiring that as a venue, school as a venue. But when you actually hiring that as a venue as well, you know, we're talking also from an experience whereby even at the school camp, you always find people who will hide the alcohol in there. And the people that are also like cleaning and doing all sort of things, you would find that they would, maybe someone would, before the, even the function, they would even steal alcohol, hide it somewhere where they're thinking. After being drunk, then they even forgot where that alcohol is. And on, God forbid, on Monday, when the kids are back at school, somewhere they find one of the people that has hidden some alcohol, and then that becomes a party. And a pity that if we could get this video, it's the same kids that are talking about the experiences within the schools as well. We're working a lot with the communities, working a lot with the individuals, we're working a lot with the schools. So when we combine what is really happening now, and maybe if I can just digress from this for a second, just to make a point. What is now happening with the Dhaka after it was like legalized? So we have found that the drug dealers, they have now put in some potent stuff and then they sell it now rolled. And then these kids, because of they going to school, they actually target areas around the school where they come in quick to buy and quickly to go in there. But what they've put in there is so potent that now they're calling that drug you kiss, you marry. Just you go one on the one that is rolled, you're automatically addicted. So now when you open that space, what will then happen is the alcohol industry will also come up with other mechanism of doing the having some kind of a promotion at the school in a different way. They could hire a school for the very same purposes to say this weekend whatever brand has got like a promotion there, they will pay the school for the certain amount because it's part of the fundraising. But the unintended consequences that is that they would also be targeting certain principal and SGBs that are vulnerable in terms of that kind of stuff, and that is where this whole thing can easily just get out of hand. So because then they would say the schools are allowed on that. So the intentions are always very good because then we all want to think about a manageable situation. But then there are people who are walking around that same manageable situation and that's where our concern is. And we really thinking this will really cause more damage than good.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much to World Changers. We have noted your concern as the committee. Like we've been saying to others, they are going to form part of our whole consolidated report. Now, can we move to... Oh, okay. We are going to move now to FW de Klerk Foundation, because the National School of Governing Bodies, they are still trying to connect. So in the meantime, let's take the FW de Klerk Foundation. They are online. You can proceed, Tyler.
Can everyone hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Okay, great. Afternoon, Chair. Afternoon, members of the committee and to my fellow stakeholders. I am Tyler Dallas, and I am the manager of constitutional programs at the FW de Klerk Foundation. The FW de Klerk Foundation is a nonprofit organization dedicated to upholding the Constitution and promoting the values, rights, and principles enshrined in the Constitution. To this end, the right to basic education fits squarely in the Foundation's mandate, and we welcome the opportunity to make submissions on this very important document. The Foundation would like to draw the committee's attention to several areas of concern we identified in the current version of the bill. The extension of power to the heads of departments, the impact on mother tongue education, and the required documents impact on undocumented learners. The first, the conferral of power to the Provincial Education Department to determine the admission and language policies of public schools and overrule school governing bodies in this regard. The interaction between the governing body, consisting of parents and guardians, the school and the department, are a form of ground-level democracy that should be strenuously defended. We submit the bill will discourage public participation as it subverts the partnership model between governing bodies and the department. The Constitutional Court in Welcome and Harmony High School held, the importance of cooperative governance cannot be underestimated. Governing bodies play a vital role and function as a beacon of grassroots democracy in ensuring a democratically run school and allowing input from all interested parties. Both domestic law and court rulings hold that school governing bodies are best positioned as parents or guardians of school attendees and members of their local community to ensure democratic school governance and thereby deal with the admission and language policy of a school, among other things. We draw specific reference in our submission to the White Paper on Education and Training in a Democratic South Africa, 1995, and the White Paper on the Organization, Governance and Funding of Schools, 1996, which hold that parents or guardians have the primary responsibility for the education of their children. They have the right to be consulted with respect to the form that education should take and to take part in the governance. The parents' right to choose includes choice of the language, cultural or religious basis of the child's education. Public school governance is part of the country's new structure of democratic governance. It expressly states, governing bodies will have substantial decision-making powers. This is again emphasized in that the decision-making authority of schools in the public sector would be shared among parents, teachers, the community, both government and civil society, and the learners in ways that would support the core values of democracy. We also draw attention to the potential erosion of mother tongue language education, specifically with reference to Afrikaans schools situated in multilingual school districts. Section 5 of the bill requires the head of department consider the language needs of the broader community in the education district in which the public school is situated when approving a language policy, but it does not make any distinction between language groups. This infringes the rights of every person to choose the language of tuition as contained in Section 29(2) of the Constitution. Although, in principle, a laudable goal to move to dual medium education, the language transformation processes followed by public universities in South Africa have evidenced that the more dominant language tends to take over, as is the case with English and Afrikaans. Research has also shown that education in the mother tongue, especially in the first few years of schooling, is a key factor for quality learning as it improves learning outcomes and academic performance. The UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, holds mother tongue language is crucial, especially in primary school, to avoid knowledge gaps and increase the speed of learning and comprehension. Of course, no child should be denied basic education on the basis of their religion, culture, or language, and a degree of flexibility must be afforded in any admission policy to allow reasonable accommodation of children who, for example, live within the district of the school or are unable to attend another school due to overcrowding. However, we submit that the school governing body are best placed to make such determination, and thus the admission and language policy should be left with this body, with the parent able to take such decision on review to the head of department in accordance with the partnership model envisaged. The final concern we would like to raise is the potential prejudicial impact on undocumented learners by the insertion of required documents into the Schools Act. In the Pakamiso case, the High Court confirmed that undocumented learners must not be denied access to basic education because of their status. The amendment envisaged to Section 3 of the Schools Act would see a parent of an undocumented learner liable to 12 months imprisonment for failure to produce the required documents. This fails to consider or resolve the practical barriers in obtaining such documents from the Department of Home Affairs. We also submit that the sanction, meant to serve as a deterrent to parents who intentionally interrupt school attendance, fails to consider the underlying reasons children don't attend school, which includes unemployment, poverty, and lack of transport. We respectfully propose the following amendments to the bill. The deletion of the provisions which take away or limit powers correctly vested with the school governing body and confer them instead to the state. Specifically, these are sections 4 and 5 of the bill, which seek to amend section 5 and 6 of the Schools Act. We believe provincial departments are already overburdened and under-resourced and therefore not appropriately placed to be the central decision-making power when it comes to the governance and administrative needs of public schools, which includes language policies, admission, staff appointments, and leasing of facilities. Secondly, we propose the addition of a provision dealing expressly with provincial oversight and consultation with the school governing body on language and admission in line with the constitution and provincial law, with the final decision lying with the school governing body and a reasonable dispute resolution process to the head of the department and thereafter the courts. We also suggest a review of Section 1 required documents definition, considering the Pakamiso judgments and existing requirements set in the Schools Act, to ensure that the documents serve a legitimate purpose with regard to school administration or admission, and that they are readily accessible and available via the Department of Home Affairs. Lastly, we suggest focusing resources on the implementation of the Use of Official Languages Act to promote mother tongue language education instead of making mandatory dual medium education in all public schools, as this is feasibly not possible given the limited resources of the department and therefore would lead to an erosion of language rights in South Africa. I thank you for the opportunity to present and I close for any questions.
Thank you very much, Tyler. Any questions, member? Nishap? Tyler, you are alluding to the undocumented learners, that they must be denied access to basic education because of their status. Which other countries, in terms of best practice, admit learners with no documentation to their schools? If you would be able to allude to that.
Just before you
respond, Advocate Misa.
Chairperson, no, I have no comments, Chairperson. The comments are similar to what we've heard today. Thank you.
Okay. You can proceed, Tyler.
Thank you. In terms of best practice with other countries, I would respectfully ask for some time to furnish that detail to you. The concern that we raised is just based on the changes that would happen to the Schools Act. So the fact that these required documents were not alluded to in the Schools Act as such, but now that they would be amended through the Bella Bill.
No, thanks very much. Thank you very much, Tyler. Thank you very much. We must probably thank you for presenting to us and say that we have noted your presentation as the FW de Klerk Foundation. And of course, we are going to put your issues as part of our report moving forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know what do we do now. SGP still has not connected. A guidance from you. We are only left with them. Let's just wait for Llewellyn is calling. Mr. Matakanya, are you in now? No, I think it's got connection matrix. Maybe we must skip him. When? No, I think, honorable members, let us call it a day. We are going to, we've got a program next week and again another 9 presenters. So if we do find time, we'll allow him, but that will be at the later stage or that other week. So for today, because of his connectivity problems, maybe let's call it a day, and then we are going to resume next week. Next week, Tuesday, the 15th of November. I must just emphasize again to everybody that is online that next week we might not be on hybrid. 80% possibility of us not being on hybrid. We will have to be here, all of us. Because like we have said, this committee room that you are using is used by the Committee on the Public Protector. So there is no other room that accommodates hybrid. So we are going to proceed on the 15th, 9 o'clock sharp with other, is he in now?
Comrade.
I Are you in, Mr. Matakane? Lumka Kwavalwa in Tao. No, I think let us close. We are going to meet next week, next week Tuesday. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.